Everybody, welcome to episode 15 of the 13 o'clock podcast. And you knew it had to happen one of these days. We are eventually getting around to doing a UFO show.
Gotta do UFOs.
Well, yeah.
Gotta do UFOs, and I think this is the best case to start with.
Yeah.
I think it's the most believable UFO case. Which, you know, I like UFO cases, but there's a lot of problems with UFOs. Main problem with UFO cases is that there are too many of them. And they can't all be true. So... you know, I'd say most of it's hoax or misidentification, but this one actually has a lot of witnesses, a lot of credible witnesses that are unrelated and documentation. So we know that this is something that actually happened.
Yeah.
The thing is, we just can't identify what it was.
Right. We're just not really sure entirely what all these people saw. Yeah. I mean, what this case, you know, is kind of up there in the field of ufology, I guess, because one, it had a lot of witnesses that were separated in distance. Four of the witnesses were cops.
From different departments.
From different departments, from different cities, different jurisdictions.
All on the night shift.
Yeah.
So the chances of collusion are pretty low.
Right.
And they were calling this in, and they actually wrote reports about it. And then there were some just regular civilian witnesses to it. And the guy who actually reported it was a civilian. So you know it wasn't kicked off by the cops.
Yeah.
And then later on, 10 years after this case, all these guys passed lie detector tests.
Yeah.
And what was funny about the lie detector tests is they asked those cops whether or not they believed it was, you know, if they had believed it was an extraterrestrial spacecraft, and they did. And they on the lie detector test, it says that they actually did believe that.
Yeah.
Although they never said that in public, that they didn't identify it. They just said that they saw something. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Which, I mean, is fair enough because, I mean, the way they described it, it could have been something else.
Maybe a secret craft.
It could have been a secret craft, sure. I mean, clearly they all saw something unusual.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it was aliens.
Polygraph said that they saw it, that they described it accurately, and that they didn't blow it into something that it wasn't.
Yeah.
And the polygraph results said that they believed that it was an extraterrestrial spacecraft. That's kind of cool. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So basically what the timeline was, this happened in southern Illinois in the year 2000. And what's the matter?
I'm just using.
Oh, he's playing with my
I'm playing with computers.
Where my thing is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it happened in the year 2000. It's generally known by the name the St. Clair Triangle or UFOs over Illinois. I think that was the name of the discovery.
Yeah, there have been some good
documentary.
Documentaries on it, which we can plug those later.
Yeah. But basically, okay, so it's January 2000.
Yeah.
Now, the documentary they made about this, they said the first sighting was at 4 something a.m. But it was actually the evening before, it was 10:30 p.m., when was apparently the first sighting of it. And I don't think they added that information until later on.
Okay. So when new witnesses came forward. Okay.
So apparently it was January 4th, 2000, and it was about 10:30 p.m., Lake Forest, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. Now, this witness, who is not named in the source we're using here, but he claimed that he was standing outside and he saw a triangular-shaped UFO much bigger than a jet airplane.
Than a 747.
And he said it was heading over his house, coming from the northeast. He said it moved very slowly.
So he was stunned by its size.
And it made no sound. Yeah. And it had a light display on the underside. He said it looked like about 500 individual lights spaced evenly across the bottom of it.
Hmm.
He said it was a very surreal experience.
Wow.
And he said it went right over his house, headed southwest.
Hmm.
Now, that was at 10:30 p.m.
Okay.
The next reported sighting of this apparently same thing was not until several hours later.
That was Melvin Knoll, right?
Melvin Knoll was the next one to report it. This was at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Melvin Knoll owned a mini golf course.
Yeah, and you can see him on the programs. He's quite a character. He's an older guy.
Yeah.
Kind of, you can't tell he's kind of a podunk. But he seems cool. He's cool and he's honest. He passed his polygraph, and he's the one that kicked it all off because he told the cops about it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he went to his mini golf course at 4 a.m. because it was freezing cold that night, and he thought the pipes were going to freeze. So he went out there, and he happened to look up into the sky, and he saw what he thought was a really unusually bright star.
Right.
That's what he thought it was at first. And he didn't really think that much of it. He just looked at him and said, oh, that's an awfully bright star. That's odd.
Turned his back on it, went back into the office, came out of the office and saw a flying house.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
That's how this guy described it. He said that it looked like a flying two-story house.
Yeah.
He said it was square, right?
Yeah, that it was square with a circular arrangement of red lights on the bottom of it. Windows on the side. It had like another little second or third story, like little room on the top of it. And as it was going, as it passed him and went away, he could see like a long light going across the back of it with bars. And when you see the actual renditions of it in some of the reconstructions, you can see what he's talking about where it looks like a house.
Yeah, because he said it looked like it kind of had windows on the side, like they were lit up.
And then and you can kind of understand maybe from his angle it would have looked square.
Yeah, because he said when he drew it, it looked rectangular. It
just looked like a flying house with a little third story on the top of it.
And now he said it was pretty low too, right?
So it was low, slow, and quiet. And he said it wasn't moving the trees. Went over the tops of the trees, and it was the trees didn't move. He said it was eerie.
Yeah.
He said nobody's going to believe me.
Yeah.
So he ran to the police station up the street.
Yeah. He basically went to Highland was, I think, the closest police station. So he actually went there in person because he thought no one would believe him and said, hey, I saw this thing that looked like a two or three story flying house.
Yeah.
You know, and so what happened then?
Why he thought it looked like a house? I can take you back to the army that time. I was stationed in the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt one time, and we were there for 6 months. And part of my job was to watch an airfield. And we were on the lookout for military aircraft landed at that airfield because they weren't supposed to be there under treaty. We were there to enforce a peace treaty. Well, I was writing a letter at the time, and planes had never really used that airfield. And out of the blue, an aircraft comes in for landing. And I just see this monster military jet, looked like an attack jet, land. So I hit the intercom. Hey, there's a jet. It just landed. You know, so they said, come on up to the office, fill out a report. So I go there and they ask me the specifics of this aircraft. What kind of aircraft was it? And I was like, well, what did it look like? Was it a jet or propeller plane? Well, what color was it? And I said, it was military. And I said, but what color was it? It was camouflage of some sort. It was a jet, I think. Some kind of attack jet looked like. I said, okay, we'll go. Pile into the truck. We'll go drive down there and see which airplane it was. We get down there, and when I finally found the aircraft, it was a C-130 cargo plane, and it was orange. And the reason why I tell that story is that if you're not psychologically prepared to see something and it surprises you out of nowhere, a lot of times if you only have a few seconds to observe it, your view of it is going to be really distorted. You won't see it clearly.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened to him. He came out and it surprised him. And the only thing he could really equate it to was a square house with a bunch of windows in it.
Yeah.
Had he had a little bit more time, or had he been prepared to see it, he would have seen it more clearly. And I think that's why the cops saw it more clearly. Because they knew they were out there looking for something.
I mean, the first guy was just, he just happened to be out there and looked up and saw
it. So I really can't blame the old guy for describing it as a house. I described an orange propeller driven cargo plane as an attack jet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, close.
Yeah. And I saw it for maybe about 3 seconds. And it was on the ground coming in for a landing.
Oh, man. And, that is a funny story.
Yeah. But that's just something to kind of people keep in mind. When you see something, you don't expect it. You're not going to really.
You're not going to remember it that good. You're not going to remember it
that well.
Yeah. And then your memory will add things like details on later, too, which is kind
of. Okay. The next cop to see it was what?
Now, the next cop to see it, basically, so Malvern goes to the cops and tells the dispatcher what he saw. And he tells it what direction it's moving in. So the dispatcher calls Officer Ed Barton, who is with the Lebanon, Illinois Police Department. And at first, he thinks it's a joke. Because she said, hey, this guy just came in and said there's a flying house.
Yeah.
And you might want to go look out for that. So Ed Barton gets in his car and he goes, out. And I think there's like recordings of the call of him saying, was this a DUI? You know what I mean?
Once I find it, what do you want me to do with it?
Yeah. He says stuff like that. What do I do if I see it?
Yeah.
So he went out looking. Now he saw it.
Yeah.
It was going in the direction of Summerfield, Illinois. Now he turned on his overhead lights and went south on Route 4 and then east, toward Summerfield. And apparently now, I guess, like I said, there was a documentary made about this, and it was kind of like a big deal of all the cops seeing it and stuff like that. But some other people came forward later and said they had seen it, too. There was apparently another witness in Summerfield, Illinois, and they said that they saw this craft for about 2 minutes. And they said it was only at 900 feet altitude.
Hello.
Yeah. They said they saw it from about 800 feet away. They said it was about twice the size of a C-5 cargo plane.
Okay.
And he said there were bright lights around the perimeter, and it was a triangular shape, like a boomerang, he said.
Right.
This witness did not see lights at the rear.
Right.
Some of the other witnesses did, but they said they didn't. They said it was moving slowly also. They said it was about as slow as a plane coming in for a landing. And he said he could hear, a slight sound, not loud, but, he said it kind of sounded like a car engine, but from far away.
Yeah. I think I remember he said it sounded like a well-tuned V8 engine from about a distance of about 40 feet.
Yeah. So not silent, but not really loud. And he said it was moving very slowly, he said it was moving in a, west. So the cop from Lebanon, Officer Barton, he drove toward where the thing had been spotted or where it was going. He pulled off the road, shut off his engine, shut off his emergency lights, and he wanted to see if he could see it or hear anything. Now, he filed a report when he got back that said he saw a very large triangular craft.
Yeah, they say triangular and arrowhead shaped.
Yeah, that was pretty much. Kind of
like a lengthened triangle is what they usually agreed on.
Yeah, most of them said arrowhead. Or boomerang or something like that. Right.
Well, sometimes they say boomerang, but they're drawing an arrowhead.
An arrowhead, yeah.
Or triangular, like an elongated triangle.
Yeah. So Officer Barton said that the lights were blinding on it, much brighter than an airplane's lights. Said it had a white light at each corner, and a red blinking light, on the bottom. He said that the white light in the front was shooting a shaft of light toward the ground without actually lighting the ground up.
Yeah.
So not like a spotlight. He said that the craft was hovering at about 1,000 feet. So similar to what the other witness had said. They said 900 feet. And he said he couldn't hear anything. Now, he turned his car engine off so he could listen to it, but he said he didn't hear it making any noise.
Now, he said the back of it was a single white bar, right? With kind of like a multicolored rainbow strip through the middle, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Now, he said that the craft hovered a bit and then started going away. He said that before it left, it made a pivoting turn.
A flat spin.
Yeah.
That's how it turned. It just spun on its axis.
And then began to move away, but slowly, not quick.
Okay.
Now, he said the back of it had a, like white lights all along the back. And then there was a thin strip of multicolored lights, like rainbow.
Down the middle of it.
Yeah. So that's what he described seeing, and he drew little sketches of it or whatever. And I think the sketches, I'll put them in the YouTube video.
Right.
But the little sketches he made.
There's some good animations of it too.
Yeah.
You can put up.
But so Officer Barton radios, and he says, you know, tells him what he saw, and he tells him which direction it's going in. He said, now, if he, the officer from Shiloh, which was about 6 miles away, he said, now, if the officer from Shiloh looks up in the sky soon, he should be able to see it because that's the way it's going. Because yeah. apparently it was really big.
Yeah, and all the cops are listening to each other on the radio.
They're all listening to the chatter on the radio.
They're all using teamwork to try to get a look at this thing.
Yeah. So, basically, it was less than a minute after Barton, you know, went on the radio and said where it was going. And there was a police officer in Shiloh, the next town down the road, named David Martin. And he said on the radio that he saw something but didn't know what it was. He was going eastbound in Shiloh, and then he spotted it. And it looked like... sorry, I have a cold.
Mm-hmm.
What looked like a triangular-shaped object with three downward-pointing lights, which is also what the first officer reported.
Yeah, and evidently they were like shining down like spotlights, but they weren't reaching the ground, which is kind of funny looking. And they've drawn it in a way to where it looks very unnatural, very odd.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that'd be eerie to see that.
Yeah. Now, dang, okay. So David Martin said, he said that the lights were toward the rear.
Right. All three of them.
Yeah. He said all three of them were
toward
the rear.
Everybody else said it was at the corners.
Said they were at the corners, yeah.
It's almost like the lights move.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the first witness said it was a pattern of lights evenly spaced throughout the whole bottom of it, like 500 of them, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
It's almost kind of like there's an LED display underneath the bottom of the thing.
Yeah. Cause it's weird because it seemed like people were seeing roughly the same thing, but the pattern of lights they saw was different.
Now, that may have something to do with the angle. The angle of approach.
Yeah, true.
The angle you're seeing it from. And also, like I said, when you're startled by something, sometimes your memory of it isn't clear.
Right, exactly. Now, David Martin, this is the cop from Shiloh, he said that he saw a red and a green blinking light, which was in front of the three white lights.
Yeah, so the order was different.
Yeah.
Instead of in the middle.
And he did the same thing. He pulled over the side of the road and turned his car engine off to see if he could hear it. And he said he didn't hear anything. He said that he thought he couldn't determine exactly how wide it was, but he said it looked bigger than a football field.
Yeah.
He said that he could see that it was low enough that he could see some detail on the bottom of it. And he said it looked like building blocks or like plumbing.
Yeah, I've heard it describe another guy.
He said it didn't look flat on the bottom.
I was listening to some audio interviews from these cops.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them said something that was very similar. They said that it looked like it was put together in pieces like little Lego bricks.
Like Legos.
And that you could see details and irregularities underneath the bottom of it, kind of like you said, pipes and plumbing or something reminiscent of a battleship. That's the word that he used.
Right, yeah.
Like something
off
of a naval battleship.
Yeah.
So it wasn't smooth. Now here's the weird thing. One of the cops also said that he saw at an angle that underneath all that irregularity was what he thought was an image of the stars above it being projected below it. In other words, that it may have had a slight camouflage ability.
Oh, like cloaking.
Like a cloak that it was trying to project the stars that were behind it down on the bottom of it. Which really doesn't make sense to me because you have these huge lights on the damn thing and then you're going to try to project stars that, you know, to
hide it.
Yeah,
who do they think they're fooling?
It didn't make sense. But maybe that was just the cops. What interpretation of what he was seeing.
Yeah.
Maybe it just had a thin or like a, maybe it had like a coating of lights underneath it. Cause remember the first witness said he thought he saw 500 evenly spaced lights.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe that's what he was seeing. Maybe the lights go, you know, would sometimes be turned off. Sometimes they'd be turned on. Maybe sometimes it would give like a, they'd just kind of glitter. Some of them would light up. Maybe that's what he was seeing. I don't know. But, you know, it's difficult to know what they saw. They were under stress, and I think they were surprised.
Yeah, that too.
Right.
So, basically, Officer Martin, this was the guy from Shiloh, he was going to get out of his car and try to get a better look at it. But then, the ship, he said, it suddenly shot away in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Whereas before, it had been, everyone else reported it moving very, very slowly. Now, he said it was like, psh, and it was gone.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, he estimated that it moved 6 miles away to the nearest town in this very, very quickly. I think he said within about 3 seconds. So that would be almost 3,000 miles an hour.
Right.
The G-forces on acceleration and deceleration would rip a normal aircraft apart. It would kill everybody in there.
Yeah.
So you're not talking about, if that's an accurate description of how it moved.
Yeah.
You're not talking about normal propulsion. Very, very strange.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. So then, the next town on its little route was Millstatt, Illinois. And like we said, the cops have all been listening to the radio, so they all know like which direction this thing is going, because Officer Martin said, hey, it's moving west.
Yeah.
So the next guy, Officer Craig Stevens. And at 4:28 a.m.
This guy's actually the best witness.
Yeah. 4:28 a.m., he spotted a triangular craft, and he said it was moving very slowly past him. He was parked. He was looking for it because he'd heard about it on the radio. So he was looking in the sky for it, and he saw it. And the dispatcher, he called the dispatcher and said, I see it. I'm looking at it right now. And she asked if he was kidding.
He said it was huge.
And he said, no, it's huge.
It's huge, yeah.
And he said, he also said that he saw a red blinking light on the underside. And he kind of drew a picture of it. Kind of looks like, that kind of looks like an arrowhead or like a, you know, it's triangular, but with a dished in bottom. Base, like, yeah. That was the sketch he drew of it. And he also drew, he said that the light on the back was strobing.
Yeah, he said it was strobing, kind of like, you know, the car kit from Knight Rider.
From Knight Rider, yeah. It was going back and forth.
It just went in one direction. It would start bright and it'd go dim, and it was white. It had a white strobe along the back of it with three bright white lights inside of it and black lines like bars going down it. They had some really good animations of it in one of the videos that I saw. Maybe we can put some of that in the video, show people what it looked like. But it was quite odd, really not conventional. It's not like something you put on the back of a military craft.
Yeah. And now, actually, Craig Stevens, he's the one that that said he saw the star projection.
Oh, that was Stevens?
On the bottom, okay. He's the one that said that. And he's also the one that said the bottom of it looked blocky, like a naval battleship.
Yeah, and he saw it pretty close up.
Yeah.
It was close to him. I think it was a few thousand feet away, right? And about 500 feet off the ground.
Right.
Out over a field. And he could hear a buzzing, like a low buzzing tone. He said it sounded kind of like a transformer, but the pitch was lower. And in one of the videos I saw, you know, they gave an estimate, kind of a reproduction of what he said it sounded like. It went like, almost kind of like a foghorn.
Yeah.
Weird.
Now, Craig Stevens happened to have a Polaroid camera in the trunk of his police car.
Yeah.
So, thinking quickly, he went to the trunk, he got the Polaroid camera out, and he took a picture of it.
And they got a picture of it.
Now, the picture is not super great.
Nope.
Because, one, it was cold out, and the camera, like, the picture didn't want to come out of the camera, because I guess the shit was frozen in there. But also, when the picture came out, it was very, very dark. And it's kind of far away. You can't really tell what the picture
just
is.
Just three dots of light that are overexposed and kind of stretched out over the camera a little bit. We'll show you the picture. But
yeah, it's just
that's
like
the
light
only
spheres.
Known picture that I know of a real flying saucer. Or not flying saucer, but at least a UFO.
And it sucks because the picture is so dark that you can't really, I mean, you can't get any sense of perspective. You can't tell how big it is. You can't tell how far away it is. Because, you know, there's nothing in there to compare it
to. But it's proof that there was an object there. There was something there.
Yeah, it for sure does not look like a plane.
No. if it was a perfect representation of what he was describing, I'd call bullshit on it.
Well, yeah, because you think somebody
because you go, oh yeah, that's a setup. Yeah. But that looks like something that you just take at the spur of a moment and it almost 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Totally dark out.
Yeah, it's totally dark.
So you can't see anything.
Because, I mean, the Polaroid, it does have a flash on it, but if something's far away.
Yeah, it's far.
The flash isn't
it wouldn't come out.
Yeah. So all you can kind of see is like three smudges of light. You can't tell how big it is or anything like that. But, you know, that's shit happens. And, you know, they've done like enlargements and tried to, you know.
Do an analysis.
Do an analysis of the picture.
It's three bright lights and a couple of dim lights.
Yeah,
that
pretty
red,
much.
There's a little red one you can see is the red flasher.
Yeah. And you can kind of see, like, when the picture is enhanced a little bit, you can almost kind of see a suggestion of, like, some kind of thing that looks like the back of a machine.
Yeah.
Sort of. It looks like little lines or, like, little, yeah. I don't know. It looks kind of like the back of something.
Yeah, it's weird.
But, actually, we're at 25 minutes, so let's take a break right now,
okay.
And then we'll go back and talk about the rest of the timeline, and then we'll talk about what it could have been. There's some skeptical theories and stuff like that. So we will be back in just a few minutes.
Podcast, Dead Sexy Podcasts. I'm your host, Armand Rosamilia. Fridays exclusively on Project Entertainment Network, where I interview authors, publishers, editors, artists, filmmakers, narrators, the lady from Walmart, whoever I feel like talking to. That's every Friday, Armcast, right here on Project Entertainment Network.
If you're into cosplay, corsetry, steampunk, gothic, or rockabilly clothing, shoes, and accessories, then you must visit Subculture Corsets and Clothing, either online at www.subculturecorsets.com or drop by their store at the Avenues Mall in Jacksonville, Florida, located a half mile off I-95. Tell them you heard their ad on Project Entertainment Network and the 13 O'Clock Podcast and receive a 10% discount off your entire purchase. Or when checking out on their website, use the discount code 13 O'Clock and receive a 10% discount on your entire order. And if you're a full-figured girl, don't worry. Subculture carries sizes 4 through 4X, and they have men's clothing as well. That's subculturecorsets.com and use discount code 13 o'clock for a 10% discount. Go check out their website now, subculturecorsets.com, or when traveling through Jacksonville, Florida, stop in and check out their store at the Avenues Mall.
The Necrocasticon, the podcast that blends horror and heavy metal properties with a common connection, brought to you by hosts Token Tom Glock, Max X, Smoking Wart Hades, and Azrael Mordecai. Featuring interviews and more with the stars of metal and horror. The Necrocasticon, Mondays on Project Entertainment Network.
There are terrors real and imaginary, and I write about them all. Paranormal nonfiction, horror fiction, the Rochdale House Poltergeist, the Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist, the Associated Hopeful Monsters, Red Menace, the Five Poisons, Bellwether. Go to www.jennyashford.com or search Amazon for the Jenny Ashford author page.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking about the Illinois UFO.
Yeah.
The St. Clair Triangle.
St. Clair Triangle. I guess that's I've only heard it called UFOs over Illinois.
Or UFO yeah. Over Illinois, yeah.
But it's weird.
So, okay. Before the break, we were talking about, okay, Craig Stevens, and he took a Polaroid of it. Now, the next officer in the UFO's line of fire was in Dupo, Illinois. Which, what the fuck kind of city name is that?
I don't know.
I thought it was Duplo, like Duplo Blocks.
Dupo.
No, it's Dupo.
Sounds like a character from Star Wars.
Yeah. So the next cop was Matt Janey of the Dupo Police Department. And he had also been hearing all the radio chatter about the UFO, and so he started looking for it. He was on Interstate 255, and he was going northbound, and he pulled over to look for it. And then another officer came by, and they were kind of joking about, you know, hey, UFO out there, isn't that funny? Ha, ha, ha. Because, you know, it was over CENTCOM, their central communication for St. Clair County. So they were all hearing it in different cities. And they were kind of like, you know, having a good giggle about it if they hadn't seen it. But then, so then Janie saw it. He drove up the road a little way, and then he saw a really brightly lit object to the east. Now, everybody else said that it was low, like between 500 and 1,000 feet off the ground. Officer Janie said that it was at a plane altitude.
Yeah, high.
Like 20,000, 30,000 feet. He said, you know, where a plane would be. So whether he was seeing the same thing that everyone else was seeing or whether he just saw a plane.
He tried to look at it through binoculars and just saw white lights or some colored lights.
Yeah.
But I think he was just seeing an unrelated aircraft.
He might have been. Because he was looking at it through through binoculars, like you said, and he said that he thought the lights on the craft were brighter than aircraft lights, but
That's hard.
How can you tell?
You're making a judgment call. You know?
Yeah. You know, he said that the red light on the bottom, he's like, it looked really big, even though the craft was far away, so he didn't think it was an airplane. But like I said, because...
No way of knowing.
Yeah. And really, if it had been so low, and then suddenly a couple miles later, he sees it and it's way up where a commercial aircraft would be.
Well, the thing could move quickly.
That's true.
But I just tend to think that he was looking at a regular airplane. But, you know, who knows? Now, they had another guy who was listening to his police scanner, a civilian.
Yeah.
Listened to his police scanner, and he ran out there and saw it at, what, 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning?
Well, the next guy, actually, the next guy was on his way to work.
Oh, there was another guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this was a couple hours later. This was 6:50 a.m. And this guy, Stephen Winnicott, he was a teacher, and he was on his way to work. And he was from Centerville. And he saw an object in the sky that was stationary. And he also said it was very big. It was triangular, had two very bright white lights with little smaller lights around it.
Hmm.
He didn't stop the car, but he reported it to the newspaper. So he basically, I think it sounded like he said it was just like hanging there, like it was hot.
Okay.
And that was, I think that was pretty much the last sighting of it that day.
Okay.
Now, other than the guy, the Janie guy that I think probably just saw a plane.
Right.
Clearly these people were kind of all seeing something and it was a weird thing.
Yeah.
Right? Was it a UFO? Like, well, yeah, it was a UFO, but was it an alien spacecraft is the bigger question.
Well, I would just go by just what the cops saw.
Yeah.
Those three cop, the first three cops, well, actually, you had the guy who said he saw, the guy who thought it was a house.
Yeah.
And then, what is it, three cops after that?
Yeah.
Right.
And then one, the fourth cop who might have.
Might have just been seen.
It might have just been a plane.
Right. Well. You know that it happened,
okay? Yeah.
Because there's just too much documentation, too many unrelated witnesses. So they did see something. They passed the lie detector tests later on, 10 years later. It's just the identification of the craft. Was it a secret aircraft? Was it a alien spacecraft? Or was it something else?
Now
there's a skeptical view of this.
I mean, obviously, because the craft was triangular, some people said, oh, maybe it was a stealth bomber, like a B-2 bomber.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
Which is triangular, but it doesn't have the same light configuration.
The flight characteristics. Yeah.
The flight characteristics are not the same. Yeah. It makes a lot of noise. It doesn't fly as low as these people reported.
You see a B-2, you know you're seeing an aircraft. You know you're seeing a flying wing aircraft. You hear jets. You know, you hear jet engines and the speed at which it travels.
Yeah. Now, slightly more believable is the fact that it could have been. Now, it should be noted that there is an Air Force base right around that area.
Yeah, however, well, evidently it went right over that Air Force base.
Yeah, and it did go right over the Air Force base. Now, that Air Force base...
Scott Air Force Base.
Yeah, that is mainly a medical Air Force base, is it not?
Yeah, medical. So it wouldn't be something a place where you'd really be testing secret
aircraft or anything like that. Although, yeah. Now, didn't they deny that they had seen anything, even though it looked like it should have flown right over it?
Yeah, they said they didn't see anything. And then when pressed, they said, well, their tower wasn't up and running at that time. There wasn't any, which is kind of suspicious. I think they did see it, but didn't want to make a comment. I think they were in a jam. I don't think they know what it is either.
Yeah, maybe not.
And, you know, they're not going to admit to people that, yeah, we saw an aircraft that we couldn't control. We didn't know what it was. Must have been something extraterrestrial, but we don't know. They're never going to say anything like that. They're just going to say, we don't know. We didn't see it. We didn't see it. There was nothing.
Yeah.
It was flares.
That was like the Phoenix Lights.
Yeah.
But a little more, a little harder to explain away was the other skeptical viewpoint that it might have been a blimp. Because the American Blimp Company is the largest operator of blimps, like advertising blimps in that area. And evidently, I mean, it being a blimp could explain, one, why it was so low, two, why it was flying so slowly, three, the different light configurations, because blimps often have different light configurations or LED screens for different advertising purposes and the sound things of like the that. Engine. And, yeah, and they're not very loud. I mean, they have an engine, but they're not very loud. And evidently, the route that this craft took would have been the route that a blimp would have taken if there was, you know, say an event in Indianapolis or what have you, like from Indianapolis to the headquarters or whatever. So some people are saying that maybe it was a blimp.
The thing is that whole theory rests on the idea that four people can misidentify a blimp. And I just don't see it.
So yeah, that does seem like yeah.
I don't know. At least two of them saw it at close range.
Yeah.
And they said, no, it was triangular. And
the one guy said it was square.
Right. And we see blimps all the time over Orlando. They're not difficult to identify.
Yeah, I've never thought that was a UFO ever.
No, you look at it and you go, yeah, blimp.
Yeah, it's a blimp.
Cigar shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm really...
No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it was a blimp.
Yeah. Like, it seems coincidental that, oh, yeah, that's the route. But you have to think, too, one, this was the middle of the night. Yeah. So why would a blimp be farting around in the middle of the night?
There's the other idea that it could have been a stealth Zeppelin or a stealth blimp, which is a deltoid blimp, lighter than air, solid body blimp that can defy radar. But the problem is that... there's a lot of problems with that idea. A stealth blimp would never be flown low and slow near a civilian area.
So that people could see it. So,
yeah. Letting the civilians see it is the same as letting Russia and China see it. And the flight characteristics, the rapid acceleration, that would tear a solid body Zeppelin up and kill the crew. Unless it was maybe a drone. But this is year 2000. Yeah, I guess they had drone technology, but... Still, the G-forces on a solid-body Zeppelin, it would tear it apart. What they were describing, I saw one thing, the performance that they were describing, even if it was something that was lighter than air, like an lighter than air solid-body Zeppelin, that type of acceleration would have to be some kind of an exotic propulsion. And all the exotic propulsions that they know about today are all theoretical. And they all require about a gigawatt of electricity, and that's what a full size nuclear power plant puts out,
right?
You know, to run a city. So no, I don't believe it was a secret craft. It's just, I mean, why would you have a stealth Zeppelin and then put a bunch of lights on it?
Yeah, that doesn't really make any sense. No. To me. Well, we're making a stealthy craft. Let's make it super fabulous and visible.
Whatever this thing was, it wanted to be seen. It knew it was being seen.
Yeah. Now, yeah. I should say that the FAA told the paper that it was a blimp. But, you know.
They're going to do what they do.
Right. So
they have the records of the blimp.
No, not that I know of.
Yeah.
Not that I know
of. That gets back to, like, Phoenix Lights. Well, it was flares.
Yeah.
And in the Phoenix Lights videos, the video that they commonly show, that is flares.
That is flares, yeah.
But the Army dropped those after the mass sighting happened.
Yeah.
That's to muddy the waters.
Right.
There's only one real video of the Phoenix Lights, and it's a V-shaped formation of lights, and it's a real grainy, low-quality video. It's hardly ever seen, and would be just lost on it'd be lost among the other YouTube videos because it's so unimpressive.
Yeah. Which and I guess a lot of them are, though, right. The UFO videos.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, so...
Well, one person actually did videotape the so-called Phoenix Lights.
Yeah.
He's one of the supposed craft. And it just looks like a grainy video with five lights in a V formation. That's all you can see. You know, low-res video at night.
So either aliens are coming here in triangular-shaped crafts, or some government somewhere has a bunch of sneaky triangular-shaped aircraft that they're flying around.
I don't know. That acceleration, that's a lot. If that's accurate, which it could be, it's difficult to say. This is why this is one of the best UFO cases. What was that?
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously they all saw something.
Yeah.
And they can't all have been so dumb as to be like, to misidentify a plane or a blimp. I mean, I could see one guy doing that, but...
And, you know, the kind of espionage something like a stealth blimp would do, it's not really needed anymore. You have satellites that are really good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't even think the Russians would be interested in that.
Yeah, you don't really need that anymore, mm-hmm. Not in this day and age.
No.
But, I don't know, man. Well, here's the thing. Let's say, I'm not saying it's aliens, okay?
Yeah.
It could be aliens. I don't know. I'm sure there's aliens out there someplace. I mean, the galaxy is, the universe is enormous.
Yeah.
Whether they would come here or not, whether they would be interested enough to come here, like, what are they doing? Are they just checking to make sure we're not fucking up the planet or?
No, I wouldn't think so. Maybe it's just a drone. If that was an extraterrestrial craft, maybe it didn't even have passengers. Maybe it was just a robotic drone. And maybe it was just doing what it was told to do. Look at stuff. Or send photos back. I don't know. It's just a good case to point out to the viewer and to the fans that if you want to look at a good UFO case, one that I think is credible, it's this one.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the best ones.
I do like, I have to say that me and Tom talk about this quite a bit, and I do like your kind of, I don't know if I'd call it a theory, your hypothesis, let's say, about if aliens are visiting.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think that they're really that interested in humans or even, like, you know, they don't want anything from us or anything like that. He's like, they're almost like park rangers. Yeah. Like, we're just kind of at the periphery of their domain, let's say.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, kind of messing around, like, just checking.
Well, maybe it could be a situation where we think this is our planet, but maybe it's their planet. We might be within their star system, and they've claimed this territory.
Yeah.
And they don't even see us as a threat. We're just the wildlife on the planet.
Yeah.
You know? Kind of like you go out to your backyard, and there's ants and bugs out there.
Yeah.
You don't care about those ants and bugs. That's your backyard.
Yeah.
But you ask those ants are going to tell you that that's their home.
Yeah.
It's probably a situation like that.
I bet
comes
it
down
like
and just
that.
Looks at the planets, looks at the wildlife. We're a part of the wildlife, and then splits, making sure everything's all right. That, you know, maybe other aliens are not coming here, you know, making sure that they're not coming here and violating their territory. You know, could be something that dumb.
I think
they're not interested.
I like to think that it's just alien children on a boring field trip.
They would be millions of years ahead of us. They'd be a superior species. We would just be bugs to them.
That's what I'm thinking. It's like, why would they care? And why would they need anything from us?
No, I don't think they need
anything. That's why I can't buy any of these, like, alien attack movies or anything like that. Because it's like, if they were advanced enough to get here, why the fuck would they need... And they could go anywhere.
They have access to everywhere.
They have access. And there's, the shit is the same all over the universe.
They would be a superior species. They'd be godlike compared to us.
Yeah. So why would they bother?
Their technology would be like magic from our point of view.
Right. So I don't think they would bother. They wouldn't bother coming by here unless they were just curious or unless it was some alien scientist doing a study or something. I don't know.
They probably would not see us as intelligent.
No.
And they would probably not see our technology.
Well, I don't see most humans as intelligent.
They would probably not see our technology as technology either.
No.
And they would probably, kind of like what when you go up to a paper wasp nest, you're going to call that nest technology. You know,
to them it is. That's super high tech, yeah.
But not to us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to aliens, we're still like hitting each other with rocks and shit like that.
Yeah, I think they just see us like bees.
Probably.
Yeah.
Which, you know, fair enough.
How much time is left?
So, you know, if you aliens are out there, and we still, well, we're at 43 minutes.
Why don't we take a call?
Let's take a call. No one can call us. This isn't live.
I don't know. Tell them where they can find this video, where they can find the videos of this case, though, because this is actually a good UFO case.
Well, if you look on YouTube, there's a couple of documentaries about it. Probably the best known one was the Discovery Channel did one, and it's just called UFOs Over Illinois.
Yeah.
So you know, you can just search YouTube for that, and you can find it. And that has, I think, that has pretty much all the police radio dispatch calls.
Yeah.
And interviews with the witnesses, because I think a couple of the witnesses are dead now.
Yeah, the main witness, the main cop guy that saw it for the longest, he died of cancer.
Yeah,
not long after.
Yeah.
He was pretty young. I don't even think he made it to 40, poor guy.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Because I thought he looked pretty young in that documentary, and that wasn't that long.
I think he died in his 30s.
I mean, it was just in 2000. That wasn't, you know.
Right.
It was just 16 years ago.
Yeah, it's not an old case.
Yeah. But, okay, so... Have you said all you wanted to say about this particular case?
Yeah, it's unknown.
Yeah.
It doesn't really strike me as a military aircraft or a civilian aircraft.
Yeah.
And the guys passed the polygraph tests and they believed it was extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
So who am I to question them? They were the ones that saw it. Maybe if I saw it, if it was that damn impressive, I'd go, yeah, that's aliens.
You'll see one of these.
Yeah, things. I want to see one.
He wants to see one really bad.
But I don't think, you know, man, it's hard to commit to that one. Was that an alien spacecraft? Could have been. That's all I can say about it.
Well, like I said, I always wonder, like, whenever I think, yeah, that was probably an alien spacecraft, I'm like, why, though? Why would they come here? Why? Why would they come here and why would they, like, fly down the road going, hey, dude?
Well, maybe it's just a drone.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's just a drone, you know? And it's doing a routine check. Maybe there's no aliens in it. Maybe that spacecraft that you're looking at, that you're seeing, maybe that is the alien. Maybe it's a living machine.
Ooh.
You know, maybe they've downloaded their soul into this thing, you know, like an artificial body.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's, maybe it's immortal and it can travel vast distances and it's, has warp drive and all that.
You know? That's pretty sweet. Yeah. I know. It's, you know, one day you'll see a UFO. I know you really want to see one.
Well.
The closest thing I've ever seen, I used to work at night, you know, and I was driving, to work and it was really dark out and I looked up in the sky and I saw a huge fireball.
Yeah. I like this story.
Now here's the thing. I did not immediately think it was a UFO.
Yeah.
I immediately thought that's a meteor and we're fucked.
Right.
Because it was big.
It was coming right at you, wasn't it?
I mean, well, the first thing I thought was a plane had exploded.
Okay.
That's the first thing I thought. And then I thought, because this is hilarious, I saw it 2 days after I finished reading the book by Phil Plait, the astronomer, and it's called Death from the Skies.
Yeah.
And it's just like tells you all the shit from space that could kill you.
Yeah.
And I had just read that like a couple days before. And then I'm driving down the street and I see this huge fucking fireball in the sky.
Now, how big was it? If you had it in your hand, was it like this and held it out, would it be like the size of a penny or?
If I held my hand, it was actually more like the size of a ping pong ball.
Oh, okay. Really?
It was big.
And it just was an explosion in the sky?
Yeah. And
did you see it move or was it just
it looked like it was moving. Yeah.
Huh.
And like I said, first thing I thought, shit, a plane exploded or the space shuttle exploded or something like that. Cause I mean, you know, I saw.
You couldn't tell how far away it was though.
No, not really. And then I thought, shit, it's a meteor. That's a dinosaur killer right there. Yeah. Well, you know, I was freaking out. And then, like, I got to work.
And ping pong ball, that's almost the size of a sun.
Yeah. Well, no, it was big. That's what I'm telling you. It was big.
Wow.
And so I got to work and I was like, you guys, we're going to get hit by a meteor. So.
But it was nighttime, though, right?
Nice knowing you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it would have hit already, man. But it didn't light up the nighttime sky.
Not really, no.
So it must have actually still been way high up in the atmosphere.
It must have been.
Oh, I don't know.
Because the weird thing was then, like, you know, obviously we didn't get hit by a meteor because we're still here. But, like, then I kept watching the news and, like, stuff like that. And nobody else had seen it.
Huh.
Nobody else saw it. So I don't know if it was just...
How long was it up there for?
It was just a few seconds.
And it looked like it was falling, going one side, it going in a certain direction. And did it burn up?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, because I was driving.
Okay.
And then, like, you know, I was driving. I didn't stop.
You had to look back down the road. Yeah. And you looked up, it was gone. Wow.
So, I don't know. So, you know, that was a UFO in the sense that it was unidentified. But I just thought, I don't know. I didn't think it was an alien spacecraft. But yeah, it was a big ass meteor, though. Yeah. That's what scared the crap out of me. But nobody saw it but me, so I guess it was just... And no, I had not been drinking.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, hope you enjoyed the UFO show.
We'll do another one later.
Yeah, because I'm, you know, I have a cold and I just, you know, this one's kind of short. It's not that short. So anyway.
Yeah, you guys should check this case out. This is a good one.
Yeah, this is a good case. Lots of good witnesses and whatnot. Yeah.
And the animations behind them are really kind of.
On the Discovery show, they did like little computer animations of what the people saw.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can check that out too.
Yeah, and we'll include some.
If you like our show, of course, you should subscribe to our YouTube channel or listen to us on Project Entertainment Network or like our Facebook page and our Twitter page at 13 o'clock podcast. And don't forget, we also have t-shirts. At Zazzle.com/13o'clock. 5 different ones at the moment. And I'll eventually put up some other ones. And I think I said this last week, but if you have any ideas of designs you want to do that you would like to see on a t-shirt.
Based off of the show.
You know, based off of any of our topics or any kind of weird topic, then let me know and I will try to accommodate you eventually. Mm. And I guess that'll do it for this week's show.
Yep, see ya.
See ya.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network.